Hello, everyone. We have a brand new podcast on the Multimedia Men Network. Oh my God, it's so sexy. It's so sweet. And we are the fresh smelling, well, maybe not fresh smelling, but it's a new music podcast. We're going to be talking about all things music. We have fun topics we're going to discuss, and it's going to get crazy. There's going to be drinks. There's going to be all sorts of sex, drugs, and rock and roll on this podcast. We are on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. I'm Brian Kluger, and my co-host with the most, you know him, it's the legend, the myth, Jacob Douglas. What up, man?
Greetings.
Greetings, earthlings.
Yes. Greetings, earthlings, indeed.
I've been friends with Jacob for a long time now, and it just we just talk a bunch. We're like, we got to record this shit, and I feel...
Well, maybe we didn't. We don't want to record all of it.
Well, there's probably legal issues, maybe?
Heavy editing.
Heavy editing. Jacob, for our listeners, what's going on, man? How are you this week? Do you love music? Supposedly you do.
I love music and barbecue.
Music and barbecue. What's the best barbecue? We're in Texas right now. We're in Dallas, and it's hot as shit in the summertime, and we just had some barbecue for lunch. What's the best barbecue? Where do we have it?
The best barbecue today is Mike Anderson's barbecue.
Mike Anderson's barbecue is fantastic.
It's delicious, and the lady tripped out on my shirt.
Yeah, so this like older, this older lady.
You're a chick, dude.
It's a chick dude, a lady dude?
She's a chick.
She flipped out on his shirt. And what shirt were you wearing? What did she say?
Man, I don't even know. I think it was a sun. And she said it was like a kitten riding a wave.
It's like she's like, is that a kitten riding a wave?
Yeah, but it was.
Was like, there a kitten or a wave on the shirt?
It was like the sun setting. I looked at her. I need what you're on.
Yeah.
Did I order the right food today?
Yeah. I wonder if you can order something special with that, like at Mike Anderson's.
Blotter acid. I have the ribs with the blotter acid, please.
Mike Anderson's been open a long time, and it's one of the best barbecue places. Only open till 2:30. And lunch, it's on dude. It's on Harry Hines, which if you're familiar with Dallas, Harry Hines is an infamous street. It's not just famous.
Questionable at best.
It's infamous. So yeah, we had barbecue and he likes music. So first off, if you like music, what was the first song you ever remember hearing?
First song I ever remember hearing. Man, it's probably the Everly Brothers or something. I've probably heard a lot of music. My dad is a musician, but
when I was
a kid, I probably Everly Brothers was the first thing I could remember taking a liking to as a kid. My dad plays guitar.
So your dad was a guitar player, you're a guitar player, and you play in a band. You like the band?
Sometimes I like the band.
What's the name of the band?
In Between Names right now.
In Between Names.
Still in the growing stages.
Okay.
We stuck the seed in the ground.
So every time you get up to perform, do you get like antsy? Do you get nervous or are you just ready to play?
I'm ready to do it.
Just ready to do it.
Ready to get up there.
And how long have you been playing guitar?
Half of my life.
So 10 years?
16 years.
16 years.
10 would be great. That would that would be the answer. I can't stop looking at this human centipede coaster.
Yeah, so we have some waters on the table, and of course the coasters are that of human centipede.
And they branch together like you can't own them all. It's probably endless.
Yeah, it's endless. So yeah,
what a great idea.
It is a great idea.
You families of eight out there, these human centipede coasters, they've got your name on it.
Highly recommended. But yeah, this is a new show. We don't have really a name yet. We're thinking about the Unbalanced Note podcast, but we'll see.
I wanted to be called PTA Moms.
PTA Moms?
PTA Moms.
I like that.
People would tune in by default. They'd think it's a nice, pleasant podcast, and they'd be in for a rude awakening.
Yes.
What is going on?
I actually like the podcast name PTA Moms.
PTA Moms. That's the winner.
PTA Moms is what this podcast is officially titled. We will be talking about PTA and moms, maybe.
We'll be talking about moms.
We'll be talking about moms.
Maybe tune in. It could be yours.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, we're going to be talking about a little later on a one-hit wonder. And we're going to be talking about a certain band called Kiss and figure out what the whole deal is. How did this band become so popular? We do not know.
I know how.
But we'll get to that for sure. But we have a few bits of news that we kind of want to discuss right now. However, one of the first pieces of news, John Coltrane's new album is his highest charting release ever. Both Directions at Once, the Lost album, reached number 21 on the Billboard 200. It is previously unheard full length. It was released last month, decades after its recording in 1963. And this is John Coltrane's first time on the charts, which, does that surprise anybody?
It doesn't surprise me. Not at all. With especially the way they count how you make it onto a chart. It's not really sales. He didn't sell that many. They count streams, so it's not surprising, but that's a really good recording, and it's a really great story about that album if you go read it, but it's not really surprising to me.
At all.
They've got all this horrible music crammed down their throats for the last 20 years. It's just crazy. It takes an artist that's not even here anymore try to wake people up and go, listen to like what humans used to sound like. Instead of like, here's this fucking Katy Perry record and it's all perfect and it's a computer made it. And you know, those are jazz dudes in 1963 getting down playing and probably on some really good heroin or opium. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
I mean, 1963 Village Vanguard, that kind of scene, dude, those people knew how to have a good time, man.
I agree. Are you happy for Coltrane's getting mainstream? But was he always mainstream? Everybody listens to him. Well,
yeah,
not everybody.
Well, he's kind of, you know, not like the Miles Davis of like, you know, it's kind of like in sports or like anything else, right? Like you have people think there's the best, and you know, Coltrane's definitely, to me, in the jazz realm and stuff, is a lot more interesting and a finesse type player than like Miles Davis, who could be real aggressive, you know, and like kind of tough to listen to. Where Coltrane had that more suave, like he was like a finesse kind of player.
But yeah.
People don't get it. I mean, I think most of the plays that they got to get him to number one are probably people just out of curiosity going, Kanye West probably used this guy's music at some point. I'm going to see what he's all about. So I don't know how the same amount of people that quote unquote listened to it actually listened to it. You know,
okay.
Got something out of it.
All right.
Because I've been guilty of hitting play on something and leaving the room. And then 8 hours later, it's playing something totally random. You know, that doesn't mean I'm in there listening to it.
Right.
So I think counting the album streams and stuff is weird, but you know, that's a great album. That's a great recording. It's a great record.
There you go. All right. Moving on. We are going to talk about Kiss later. However, there's a bit of news. Gene Simmons of Kiss, the Demon.
Yeah, talk about Kiss right now.
Settles sexual battery lawsuit. The lawsuit was filed last year over an alleged incident during a radio interview. This is the Me Too movement. Interestingly enough, this incident took place on November 1st of last year. And Simmons and Paul Stanley were being interviewed, and she claimed Simmons touched her inappropriately and turned standard interview questions into sexual innuendos, which meaning like, please plug that in or put that in here. That's what she said. That's a sexual innuendo and that's a fucking joke. What's happening? But I guess Gene Simmons just has $1 billion. Like, fuck it. Let's go away.
I'm the people that do legit stuff obviously need to be brought to a head. But if you're going to, you know, interview a character like Gene Simmons and you're going to get upset that he's made a sexual innuendo towards you, you obviously don't know who you're going to interview.
Like, where does this shit end? Like,
it's not going to.
Like, you make a joke.
It could have ended with the Tide Pods.
Yes, it could have.
Just give those to people. Hand them out, right? Oh, here. Want to pique your curiosity? Eat this and see what it's like.
Yeah.
Get rid of those people. Then we wouldn't have to be talking about that.
You're not supposed to eat these. However, if you want to, here it is. Well, make your own decision.
It's like that woman that tried to stay like Stan Lee touched her inappropriately, and it's like he's like 89 years old, and his hand probably, you know. It's,
well,
it's,
you know
it's
what?
It's crazy. It's
in,
crazy.
In old, in you know, culture back in the 50s and 60s, it was not. It was common where somebody was talking to you, and they just put their hand on your knee, just like as a term of endearment, like I'm talking to you, or like a hand on your shoulder.
Yeah,
I don't think Gene was trying to touch the pussy there or grab the pussy.
Man, Gene, if Gene wanted to do that, he probably would have done it.
But yeah.
He's kind of one of those myths, though. It's like, did that guy really bang 1,800 women? Like Wilt Chamberlain category amounts of pussy? Like, that's unbelievable if it's true.
No, yeah, no, it's crazy. But
I would think if he did, though, that's probably the last thing on his mind now. Because it's like, he's just money, you know what I mean? He's already got enough pussy, dude.
Yeah, and Shannon Tweed is his...
Yeah, I mean,
it's a porn star.
Shannon Tweed is, I mean, I feel sorry for her.
Quotations, you know, actress.
Shannon Tweed, if you're out there listening, I will not have the amount of money that Gene has unless you give it to me. But I'm here for you if you ever need to talk. I got you.
Jacob has you, Shannon.
I used to have you hanging on my wall.
I think everybody did. I used to watch her on Showtime.
Smart people did.
Well, that is. I think Gene just has a lot of money. He's like, this will be easier just to pay.
Probably.
But I'm sure nothing actually happened.
The problem with the Me Too movement is not everyone is a great person. So then when you factor in, well, hey, this could be an easy cash grab, and you know, you could throw out anything. You know, it could be, this person put a hair in my food at this restaurant and I ate it and then it choked me and now I'm, you know, you can make up anything now. It all started when that woman spilled that fucking coffee on her crotch.
McDonald's.
Sued and won.
Because it's too hot.
Yeah. And then from then on, we've all been fucked.
What do you mean I got to drink this coffee hot?
Yeah. It's like, I mean, yeah, that was the beginning of the end. That and like, OJ, those two, I wonder what year.
But the thing is about this.
What year did that coffee thing?
Early 90s.
When did OJ was what, like 94?
Yeah, something like that.
I bet they coincide because that's when, I'm telling you, that era of the, you know, our time on the planet here, that decade, that time right around there forward, that's when people just started to really lose their shit mentally and become dumber. Shit started to just get out of control right there. Go back and look at it. There's all kinds of shit.
So are we just picking up the pieces now?
We're picking up the pieces. I guess we should be flinging them out into the ocean. Good riddance, right?
I agree. I'm there with you.
We're in trouble, man.
We're hopefully not, but I think we know Gene Simmons is going to be okay from all this.
Dude, yeah. Gene could just, he could go live on another planet. He's got that kind of money.
Yeah, there you go.
He could be on Space Force because I know him and Trump are friends. Trump could put him on Space Force. Gene could be the head of the intergalactic army, right? Who better to go into space than Gene Simmons?
Agree, in full kiss guard.
We want the demon. We don't want Gene.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we should stress that is that since they do still parade around as Kiss with other people dressed as, you know, Ace and Peter in their uniform and their makeup and stuff. Gene, we don't want Gene the person. We want the demon.
Demon, yes.
So let's.
We like that.
Gene is one of those people where I am a huge Kiss fan, but I don't think I'd ever want. I would never want to meet him because it would just ruin everything what I like about Kiss. Because I'd be like, man, he really is. Unless he just was a genuinely nice person, but he seems like someone where if I met him,
it's business all the time.
I would have to not like his music anymore. Yeah, he's such an asshole, you know. But
it's like, don't meet your heroes.
Yeah, love his music. I mean, people always used to think I was crazy because I was like, man, if you really listen to Kiss songs, listen to them, the first, you know, five or six albums, and then listen to like the first five or six Beatles albums, they're really not that far off as far as like songwriting, execution, like when they're playing, and production, because they're very like,
they're a visual band for sure. And well, Beatles got very visual as well.
They're from the beginning.
Yeah.
The first thing before people even heard them, they just saw, well, who are these long, and then long hair in, you know, 1963 was like, you know, oh, the hair's touching their ears. And now it's like, it's beyond that, you know.
Yeah.
It went way beyond that. But Yeah, the first thing people saw, they saw the Beatles, I think, probably before they heard them. Newspapers, they see these fucking four British, you know, dudes with this crazy hair, and they're like, what? And then there's, they hear them, and they're like, wow, these guys from this planet? Like, same with, you know, it's like Chuck Berry, same way, man. Like, that blew people's minds when they thought, that black guy doing that?
Doing rock and roll,
like,
huh?
It's like, yeah, dude, who do you think wrote rock and roll?
Hail, hail, rock and roll. Yeah, that is Chuck Berry.
Yeah, Chuck Berry, Little Richard, Jerry Lee Lewis, like, those guys were the pioneers. But even you hear that when you listen to Kiss.
Yeah.
Because it's just very, there's a formula, and they stick to it, dude. All Jerry Lee Lewis songs sound the same. It's like most Kiss songs are going to sound the same, too, because that's just what they sound like.
Yeah. I believe it's like AC/DC. They all sound the same. Yeah. And it's a, yeah.
Exactly.
But it's great.
It's just why it ain't broke, dude. And then when it did start to break, dude, they, Dynasty, right? Kind of good album, but kind of started to like turn the corner there, you know, if like disco was happening in the 80s. And it's like, it ain't the band anymore.
We'll get there. That will be our main event of the podcast. Oh, but first, we have to do a little news story. Elvis Costello, don't know Elvis Costello, cancels tour. He reveals his cancer diagnosis. He is recovering from surgery on a small but very aggressive cancerous malignancy.
I'm indifferent on that. I mean, I don't even know who would want to go see Elvis Costello now anyway.
Does he not sound the same? Is he not the same Elvis Costello?
Well, I'm sure that there's fans out there that are upset, but I don't know. He's all right, I guess. But.
Well, I guess he has canceled his summer tour, which is anyway overseas, England, Australia, Croatia. However, it looks
that's very bizarre.
In November, he will be playing in Pennsylvania. But he's not coming to Texas. The closest he's going to come here is Thackerville, Oklahoma, at the Windstar World Casino.
I guess the thing with, you know, if he doesn't need to tour, he doesn't need to. You know, like, that's what I understand with people that are, they've been doing it for that long, you know, and it's like, man, if your health is starting to get rattled and, you know, financially you don't need to tour, especially in Europe, it's like, you go to Croatia and you got cancer, it's like, play some home shows, you know, if you're sick, you know.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Don't exhaust yourself. You know.
I agree.
If you don't have to.
I Costello.
Elvis Costello would probably be pretty well financially set.
I would agree, but sometimes
unless he's gone on another racist rant.
Yes, you don't know this. But earlier this year, he contributed a song to the tribute album Johnny Cash Forever Words. So, good look for that. In our last little bit of news, which is super, super fun. If you remember the amazing shirtless saxophone guy from The Lost Boys, the vampire movie with Corey Haim and Corey Feldman, that guy.
Do you really have to say that movie? If you don't know The Lost Boys, just turn it off now. If you have to go that vampire movie with those two Coreys in it, we don't want those people watching that.
Well, his name is Tim Capello. Tim Capello. And he was the buff weightlifting guy who played saxophone in that movie.
What a great character.
It is.
Unnecessary.
He's known as Sax Man. I mean, he had chains around his neck. And he's saying, I still believe. Well, supposedly, this guy has put out his first solo album ever, and it's called Blood on the Red. And I'm going to show Jacob this image. And what do you describe this image as?
It looks like a Monster Magnet cover from like 1993. It kind of looks like a bad acid trip, and kind of gives me that like, what was that Sean Connery sci-fi, Zardoz? That movie where he was like on another planet and it was sci-fi, you know what I mean? Zardoz, I think.
Okay.
It looks, they could have done better on the cover department. Although, I mean, it is a conversation starter.
So look up Tim Capello, Blood on the Red, and you'll see that it's still like this older man. He is 30 years older than he was in the movie. So he's like 60 here. He still has long hair. He has, still has the black chains around his neck, and he is in some sort of spandex leather.
It's a leather diaper.
Red onesie that is skin tight with an S&M black leather crotch codpiece. And he's like,
I think that saxophone, though, is photoshopped into his hand. it doesn't look like he's really...
It does, no, it actually looks like maybe a 15-year-old who just learned how to use Photoshop did his album cover.
Zoom in on that. Is there a way to zoom in there? Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't know, man. That's questionable. We'd have to zoom out, though. That's a precarious shot.
Yeah. So...
We need to get that dude on the show.
We do. We need to get Tim Capello, Blood on the Reed. Not Blood on the Red. Blood on the Reed, which is a fantastic title.
Man, we should ask him about what he thinks about the Coltrane number one. I mean, ask sax guy to sax guy, right?
Yeah. Who are his influences? I'd love to hear, because...
He probably didn't know who Coltrane is.
He forgot about it. So... On Capello's website, timcapello.com, you can go buy the album in the form of an MP3 or CD, which if you buy the CD, he will sign and personalize for you. Meaning...
Does he have t-shirts?
I don't know. I think he does.
A poster. If he'd sell a lot more posters of the album cover than I bet he would of the record.
So Capello describes the album himself. It's definitely a rocker, but with a funky twist. It's mostly classic songs I love to play live and twist them around a bit. And of course, it includes a brand spanking new jammed out version of I Still Believe from the Lost Boys.
What? Okay. Are these cover songs? Because it says there's songs that he... Classic songs.
He loves to play live. Yeah.
I wonder if these are covers. Let's find a track list.
Let's go to his website. Maybe it will say there's definitely t-shirts.
I knew he'd have to. Look how Jack, dude. He's having a good time, you know?
I don't see a track list. Oh, wait. There is. Wait, there's not.
He's got to be on Amazon.
Oh, wait. There it is. Only You. Tequila, which I would love to hear a sax version of Tequila by him. I Put a Spell on You, Highway 61, Wiggle, I Still Believe, Maybelline, Take Me to the River.
There you go, man. Rock, the circle is complete. Doing some Chuck Berry, man. Rock and roll sax guy.
Who sings Nutbush?
Nutbush City Limit. That's an old, you know, like Motown. Bob Seger did a fucking banging version.
And a sax interlude. And the song, song track listing is tattooed on his arm.
Very tattooed. I mean, that's a...
The Girl Can't Help It, Little Bitty Pretty One.
Something on there has got to be misspelled, because that's just, it's too bad of an idea for it to go perfect. You know what I mean? Like, something somewhere on there is misspelled.
So we have Highway 61, which is Bob Dylan, right? I Put a Spell on You, Screamin' Jay Hawkins, Tequila the Champs, Take Me to the River, Talking Heads, Little Bitty Pretty One could be Jackson 5.
Well, but those are also, a lot of those songs are, you know, standards.
You know, but like with this guy, the shirtless sax guy from Lost Boys doing it on his saxophone?
He's got a shirt on there, though. It's kind of false advertising. Shirtless sax guy, he's got a shirt on.
You know what? I'm going to buy this album, and hopefully I can... put a message to him, and it's like, hey, man, we have a podcast. Do you mind being on it to promote your album and talk about music? Can we do that?
We should do that.
We should do that.
Then we'll personalize an item from our collection to him. he charges 15. We'll charge 28.
I'm so glad we looked this up, because this is fantastic. No, I want to hear this shit, too. We're going to hear it, and we're going to talk about it next time. We're going to try to get him on the show.
We're going to fly him in. They're handing out Harley Davidsons at that Harley Davidson store in Allen, Texas.
You can buy t-shirts, and you can buy those little enamel pins.
Holy shit.
Of
wait
him.
A minute. How much? I bet that thing's like 15 bucks.
The enamel pin is 15 bucks.
That guy, him, man. This guy.
He knows.
This guy's a mark. We should ask him what he thinks about Kiss, dude. His merch. This guy's merch game is off the charts.
That is insane and all sorts of funny.
A pin that probably costs $2. I bet it's $5 to ship it too. Add one to the cart and see what the shipping is on one pin.
Oh shit! I just got out of it. Well, I'll find out.
I sold out of those, dude.
Well, they're now but $15, and if he's shipping them, I would imagine it's going to be between $4 and $7
for a pin. He's killing it, dude.
Anybody
want to buy pins? We're making them. Pay up.
We've got to get this. We got to get it signed. This is just perfect.
We'll send him these human centipede coasters.
Hey, man, you like some human centipede?
Check these out.
Hey, by the way, if I can send you my Lost Boys album for you to sign, that would be even better.
You keep it and you see it on eBay. He'd personalize it and then sell it himself.
There you go.
We'd give away a pin with it.
All right. We're done with the news right now. We're gonna do a weekly topic of one-hit wonders where we take a one-hit wonder, talk about the song and the band, and why they only had one hit. And, like, maybe we knew why. But the first one in which I think is nice because it's our first podcast. It's our first time doing this. And I believe this is the actual first ever one-hit wonder from all the way 1958. The song, Lollipop. I mean, when you think of that song, you think of Stand By Me, right?
Everybody knows that's just a timeless song. Like, That's a song you can remember every time, like, you've kind of ever heard it.
It's kind of almost like a nursery rhyme, right? Like, yeah. Everybody knows, like, lollipop, lollipop.
It's a rite of passage as being a human being, I think. And, like, I think it's a song that, like, every race probably knows. You know, like, there's not a lot of things like that that kind of, like, transcend all of those things. You know, it kind of encompasses everyone. That's a great song.
No, it is a great song. I mean, it's catchy, it's fun, it's simple.
But I always, you know, to call that a one-hit wonder, though, is like, a one-hit wonder to me was always like a term used for a band that you shouldn't be hearing anyway. Like, a one-hit wonder is like they got lucky. Lollipop, that song, it doesn't sound current, but it's like a fresh feel to it when you hear it. Yeah, and like a one-hit wonder, you're like, I know that fucking band that plays the bowling alley, you know, like, there's not like a one hit wonder is like a, you know, there's no substance there. You know what I mean? For a majority of them, they're kind of like, they capitalized on the stupidity going on.
Well, we term one hit wonders mostly with a negative connotation just because you love this one song. Maybe the song just did well and it's a terrible song. However, they didn't do anything else. And I think this is kind of like the same thing. In this case, the song was written by Julius Dixon and Beverly Ross, and it was first recorded by the duo Ronald and Ruby, but it was covered more successfully by the Cordettes. And it's, you know, it's like a barbershop song. Like, you know, you kind of
it's a fucking we're gonna go see a dead body by the railroad track and we're gonna walk down the railroad track kind of song. That's the kind of song it is.
Perfect. Yes.
That is it. What is that? I don't even know what that song is about.
So
it's probably some X-rated when you really break it down. Lollipop is probably about like you're getting a blowjob. Like, you know, you couldn't say it. I mean, there's all kinds of songs from like the 30s that are like, you know, about bad smelling pussy and, you know, all kind of those blues guys, man. Like,
but these weren't blues though. This was poppy.
Yeah, but exactly. But it's like, what better way to kind of have some innuendos than to like just make it so obvious and simple that the whole kind of the meaning of the song gets lost in the simplicity of it.
Well,
they're only talking about lollipops.
But are they? Do you want me to tell you?
Who does it tell you?
Yes, it does.
God, that Al Gore's internet is just unbelievable. Thank you, Mr. Gore.
The song originated when Julius Dixon was late for a songwriting session with Beverly Ross. He explained that his daughter had gotten a lollipop stuck in her hair and that it had caused him to be late. Ross was so inspired by the word lollipop that she sat down at the piano and produced a version of the song on the spot.
Okay.
There you go.
What are the lyrics to that song? Does it say anything other than lollipop? I don't think it does.
Lollipop song lyrics.
It's all just the melody. It's probably going to pull you up some Katy Perry.
So it's, oh, lolly, lollipop, call me baby lop, tell you why. His kiss is sweeter than an apple pie. And when he does his shaky rockin' dance, man, I haven't got a chance. Okay. I call so him that song, lollipop. That's kind of like a blowy
that
song.
That song ain't about a lollipop getting stuck in a girl's hair. I mean, are you kidding me?
Sweeter than candy on a stick, huckleberry, cherry, or lime. If you had a choice, he'd be your pick. But lollipop is mine.
See, exactly. Who's this he they're talking about now? That again, see, story doesn't fit. Doesn't fit the crime.
So the Chordettes made that famous. That's probably the song, that's probably the version you've heard in like Stand By Me and everything. But Lollipop...
You're assuming people know what Stand By Me is. It's this animated Japanese film from like 1942. It's in 3D. It's just amazing.
You know what? It's hard to say, but like when you hear the lyrics, you hear that. I don't know. It's
pervy, dude. It's questionable.
So that was a one-hit wonder for the original people, Ronald and Ruby, who did it. But the Chordettes, they're a two-hit wonder, maybe? So they are best known for Lollipop and Mr. Sandman, which was made famous in Back to the Future.
Oh, that's the same.
So that's Chordettes.
Dude, that ain't a one-hit wonder then. Those are two iconic songs. Well, that's what I'm saying. A one-hit wonder to me would be a band like, gosh, I mean, there's so many horrible ones to just choose from, and I don't want to just alienate all the bad bands because there's so many great ones. But Creed kind of almost should have only been a one-hit wonder, but like people let that get out of control. I mean, that just became a fucking free-for-all.
Right.
But, you know, like Putting on the Ritz, that's like a one-hit wonder. You know what I mean?
But if we talk about the original group, Ronald and Ruby... Ronald and Ruby were an American interracial pop vocal duo in the 50s, and their only hit was Lollipop.
Well, no, Mr. Sandman.
No, that's not Ronald and Ruby. That's the Chordettes, who made it famous. The duo members of Ronald and Ruby, who originally did Lollipop, were Ronald Gum was black, and Ruby was white.
What year did they write that? See, they're already
50s, early mid-50s.
Odds are already stacked against them at that point.
So basically their credits include Young and Hungry for Love, Frankenstein Rock, Fat Pat, Soulmates, Don't Come to My Party, and The Ghost of Love.
Wow, what, those are all great song titles.
Yeah, but in 1958 they released their only hit, Lollipop, which reached number 20 on the Billboard Hot 100.
We should reach out to them and see if they'd like to come on.
Do you think Ronald and Beverly Ruby Ross, let's see if they're alive. Oh, she was born in 1939.
Oh, it could, yeah, could be.
She's still alive.
What's she like? That'd make her 81?
Something like that. But I get it. I love the song.
Not a one-hit wonder, though. That's not a one. But stuff like, I don't know, man. One-hit wonder, I guess it would have to...
Well, it is a one-hit wonder because that was their only hit. And then, like, tons of people went out and remade it, like the Chordettes.
But there's no wonderment to that song. I mean... People don't go, why is that a one-hit wonder? That was a one-hit. That was a great song because it was a great song. Songs, you know, like, what's a really bad, like, cheesy one-hit wonder song?
Macarena.
Okay, exactly. Explain, like, to try to have to explain that one is a lot more difficult than to say why Lollipop became such a big song, because that's actually a good song. The Macarena, if you listen to it now, it's like, how long do you think you could make it through the song? You couldn't get to the end, and then, you know, they'll fucking play you the extended dance hall version of it that's like twice as fast but three times as long.
Right.
So you're like, what the fuck is going on, man?
Super weird.
There's a wonderment to that, though, because you wonder, how the fuck did that happen? Like, how did 30 million people get behind that?
No, I agree.
So like Gloria Estefan, like, that's, I mean, how did that happen? Kenny G, right?
You could say the same thing with this band. I mean,
what, it was band? Their with Kiss?
No, Ruby and Ronald. That was the only song. They just had...
Well, those were the songwriters, though. Like,
you they originally performed the song, right, but then...
Who wrote it? They also wrote it.
They also wrote it. It's right. their song. It was their number one hit.
Right.
And then, you know, it's kind of like...
But they wrote that song in 58, you said, right?
Right.
And then the year that, that the other people did it was probably in the 60s, probably 62, 63, so 4 or 5 years had even passed. I mean, there was people, they're songwriters. That was kind of their job. They wrote songs for other people. So they weren't really, you know, I don't know. I don't know if that would be considered really a one-hit wonder. Because that's just a great song. Like
one, it is a great song.
One-hit wonders are things you hear 20 seconds of, like when you're watching that stupid, like when they used to have that VH1 show.
Right.
Where they talked about the same shit. And it's like, you only, you don't want the 3-minute version of the song. You want like the... 20-second breakdown of, hey, you remember this song? Yeah, next. You don't want to listen to the song. Like, if Lollipop came on, you would want to finish the song. But if, like, fucking if Kiss from a Rose came on, maybe people would want to hear that, but not me. I mean...
You don't like Seal?
I like Seal, but that song's a little much. I mean...
It's too much for me.
Yeah, it's fucking it's self-indulgent. Like, it's like purposely sad for no reason. It's like I think he was banging Heidi Klum, then he would have had to have been.
Yeah.
I mean, he peaked there. So any time that was going to happen, I mean, it had to have been then is all I'm saying. So that's the testament to also writing a great cheesy song is things like that could happen.
Yeah.
Like, you make your how many people would have said, Seal and Heidi Klum would be a couple one day. Nobody in their right, no one. No one could have predicted that.
Yeah.
And I bet that happened because of that song.
With the music.
I don't fault him for the song, but I never need to hear it, you know?
There you go.
Like, what's the fucking Titanic song?
You ever My Heart Will Go On.
You ever want to hear that again? That's like a bad wedding song. Like, if you're white and you get married, you're going to play that stupid song at your wedding. It's just going to happen. That's like white people do that shit. Is that going to happen at any other wedding, you think? Anyone going to play that song?
No, I don't think so. However, I think if I heard that live by her, I would be really moved and love it.
Oh, man.
Or even a cover of her. I actually have like a rock ska version of that song. It's excellent.
Is that like the one they play like at the skating rink?
Basically.
Like, oh, we got an odd request for the all skate, and then that song comes on, and it's like the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones are doing it. Like, that's a one-hit wonder, right? Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. Remember that fucking band?
I do remember.
Never had to
knock on wood.
That's a one-hit wonder.
We'll talk about that at another time.
Well, we got it going now, man. What are you talking
about? Well, we got to save it for the next one. We have many podcasts to come.
This is a marathon
podcast. We have another podcast to do.
This is a three-hour special. They're handing out free grapes today at Sprouts on Henderson.
Yeah, you just put your hand out, and there's grapes. Yeah. Allegedly, we've heard rumors. Don't sue us.
They have grapes there.
We just heard that there's grapes there, and they might be free.
We're rounding up business for all you... people that have slow work weeks in the retail world. We're going to help you. We're here to help.
So, Lollipop, fantastic. It's been in tons of movies. It's been covered.
What other movies has it
been? The movie Whip It? The movie Planet 51?
You're looking at a computer.
Right? I am. The film Sing, which was recently. The film Final Girls and the new TV show on Netflix, Riverdale.
So they bastardized the hell out of that great song. But I don't know.
And Stand By Me.
Have you seen any of those other movies?
I've seen Whip It and Planet 51 and Sing. I have not seen Final Girls or I have not seen the TV show Riverdale, which is basically Archie.
The other movies that you saw, are they good?
They're okay. They're
okay, well, there you go. See,
it's not Stand By Me. It's the best one.
That's the song, that movie, like, Stand By Me had a great soundtrack.
It did. It was all 50s shit.
Well, yeah, it was time appropriate. But the quality of music then was just... The term one-hit wonder didn't come to existence yet because there wasn't horse shit music.
Exactly.
There wasn't horse shit.
But supposedly people. This is like one of the first ones from 1958. Yeah. These people, Ron and Ruby, didn't have another hit. This was their one, and it was stuck, and it still sticks today. Yeah. They still use it.
What was the next one then?
What was the next one?
Like year 1959. What was the... What's the one-hit wonder?
One-hit wonders...
Once we get into the 70s, dude, that's smooth sailing. Because that's like, you start mixing cocaine and synthesizers do, that's a recipe for bad music, and that's where it started. That's where we started to have some problems.
So, one hit wonders. Let's see here. Also, all in 1958.
Like fucking Barbie Girl, right?
The next one, 1958, would be Bobby Day's Rockin' Robin, who later Jackson 5 did a cover version of that as well.
Yeah, great, great song. I mean, well, according to that thing, if you keep going on that list, it'll also probably say Rock Around the Clock was a one-hit wonder. Like Bill Haley, you know?
I don't know if Bill Haley's on there. He might have had a few.
He did. That's what I'm saying, that... you had great music then, man. Like,
I agree.
You know, I watched the other night, there was a speech, like, Dave Grohl, he won a Grammy or something, and he came out and he made this, like, speech where he was like, this is what human beings sound like analog recording. It's not about, like, being perfect and, like, having a computer fix the errors and all that. And that's, that era of music, you know, all the stuff from the 50s, all of that, man, is that's what people sound like. You can hear the time, you can hear the pleasantry,
yeah, you can.
Of like what was going on in the world with that music.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. And we're going to do this every podcast, every episode. I mean, we're going to be talking about the Safaris Wipeout. We're going to be talking about Ooh Child, Five Stair Steps. I mean, we're going to be talking about Sugar Hill Gang, Rapper's Delight.
Dude, we're going to be talking about Sugar Ray.
Sugar Ray.
One hit wonder, dude.
One hit.
What's a bet?
Michael Sambello, Maniac.
Oh, Michael. Oh, yeah, dude. Sax bro.
Jermaine Stewart, We Don't Have to Take Our Clothes Off.
Dude, I think you've
probably seen that. It's fantastic. We're going to get to these. This is going to be a recurring topic for sure. We're going to move on to our main event. So yes, we were moving on to our main event, which is Kiss, the band that seems too weird to make it, but they made it, and they're probably one of the most successful bands ever to be in music.
Yeah. Well, who would challenge them? They would instantly be sued. They wouldn't have a chance.
So this American rock band is from New York City, and they formed in 1973. They are the Mount Rushmore, Paul, Gene, Peter, and Ace. And they're a bunch of Jews, a bunch of Jewish guys.
Only two of them.
But true, I guess.
They got rubbed off on.
Yes. But
say that one.
In the early 70s, what was, there were a lot of rock bands. What made them different? They dressed up. They were the cat, the demon, the space guy.
Those guys figured out like really quick that no one just wanted to see them up there. Like no one wanted to see four
hairy guys. Hairy, yeah.
Big kind of curly-haired, frizzy-haired, you know, weirdo-looking dudes up there playing mediocre, like, rock and roll music, right? Like, they knew we had to do something different.
Right.
And they nailed it. Like, they were good songwriters. Like, they're a pop band. I wouldn't say they're a rock and roll band. They're a pop band with rock and roll tendencies. But they never tried to be anything other than that. And when I first heard those guys, I wasn't into it. I was like, dude, it sounded like I walked into fucking Guitar Center. You know, like it was very basic, like there wasn't a lot going on, and it was just very
I like how you put that. Their music when I first heard it was like walking into a Guitar Center.
At the time I would call it amateur. To me at the time, it sounded, but my ears at the time were like amateur level. I wasn't actually listening to them. Like, I was just taking it, you know, on the surface. I wasn't really kind of letting it, like, infiltrate me. I just had it on. You know, I wasn't paying attention to it. And then when I really started to listen to Kiss, I was like, man, these guys are really, really fucking good songwriters. And they're really good at, like, delivering, like, a sound. Like, they never sound off. They're always playing together. And the way they sound is always, it's always perfect. But it's, there's heavy editing, right? So, like, even on, like, a Kiss Alive, right? Which is a loose quote, you know, live record.
Correct.
Fucking, I would, if you broke it down into, like, percentage of how much that album is live and how much is, you know, studio overdubbing and editing, I would be willing to guess that 10 to 15% of that album is live. Because there's just no way that they're good instrumentalists. Like, they're very good at their instruments. But within the context of Kiss, there's a formula that they work in, and you can't do the stuff out of the box and have it work.
Right.
You have to stay, it's this constricted, you know, this is our fucking area to work in. We can't go out of it.
Yeah.
Because this is our sound. And they fucking, man, they wrote great songs. They looked great. They had iconic album covers, like all those early album covers, even like Dressed to Kill, the black and white photo of them, like in the suits with the Kiss makeup on. You're like, what the fuck is this? And then having the whole, you know, the Matt Mock thing, like the Mothers Against the Music of Kiss.
Right.
It's like, what an incredible marketing machine, inadvertently.
No,
like
correct.
having that image, and then knowing that, like, man, it's 1974, and people are fucking like
losing their minds.
Yeah, yeah. And then these, then you see this, like, you know, space dude come out with like this homosexual front man and like this wonky drummer, and you know,
the
fire
demon,
breathing,
yeah. And then you're like the star child,
yeah, and you're
the flamboyant, and then you have the space guy, and then there's a cat,
yeah,
and then a demon that's like swallowing swords and blood everywhere.
And you're like, what? And then there's like shit's exploding, and you're like, what the hell? Like, they're the only band that could probably give like Funkadelic a run for their money as far as like weirdness goes in a live show.
Because you know what? That's a good.
All the banter in between the Kiss songs that you get with like Paul Stanley.
Yeah.
It's like if your skin doesn't crawl listening to that dude talk in between the songs, man, there's something wrong with you.
It's very, very interesting. It's, you brought up a good point with P-Funk. I mean, what other band really went all the way like them,
yeah, they,
in their strangeness, like Kiss did.
Same thing, man. Like they figured out, they were like, maybe it has something to do with people weren't just really listening to music anymore. They had to have some sort of theatrical like appeal. But you know, stuff like that's great, dude. Like you went and saw, you know, that Trans-Siberian Orchestra
right
thing,
yeah,
the last time they were here, and I've seen that. And dude, that's the same thing. Like, I don't think if you wouldn't have had like Kiss,
you wouldn't have
you
them.
Wouldn't, you couldn't. You wouldn't have had that. I mean, granted, someone else could have stumbled upon it, but they kind of like perfected the art of like, oh well, here's, you know, if you want to do a rock show, not a rock concert.
Yeah, it's not just a black stage with white lights. I mean, it is a full circus on carnival production.
Oh, yeah, I mean, 18 wheelers and like, you know. The scaffolding on Kiss's stages has just always been like, even if you have the shittiest seat on the floor, if they're in an arena, right, they're elevated. You can see them.
Yeah.
I mean, so they're, you know, as far as like, and the fans, man, like there's a, like I said, I'm Kiss for a long time. I wasn't into them. And then one day I just, like, my eyes opened. I saw the light. But
well, before you get to that,
it's an experience.
Do you think, if Kiss didn't have the show, the spectacle, the makeup, the costumes, and they just came out as the regular guys, do you think they would be as good?
Absolutely. They did
Even
that.
If it's the same music.
They did that in the 80s. And didn't they, like, 80s, there's people that love 80s era Kiss, but you know, to me it's the 70s stuff. All the stuff with Ace, they're a rock band. But if they would have not had the aesthetic and like the makeup and all that, I don't think really people really would have given them a shot. Or even listen to them, if it would have just been the way they looked playing their instruments.
But in a way, their music is that good. They could stand on their own without it, but they might have not. They probably wouldn't have taken off.
They wouldn't. There's no way they would have. Because I think a lot of the stuff with Kiss was like a spectacle, dude. It was like, well, they sold tickets just to people that were curious to see the live show.
Right.
You know, like they couldn't tell you anything about who the characters were, who the people were, any of the song names, but they were like, what's this band playing at Cabo Hall that's like lighting shit on fire inside, and there's like a guy shooting fire over the crowd.
And then he's bleeding out of his mouth, yeah.
Spitting blood, and there's a fucking, you know, Ace is like shooting fireworks out of his guitar. And
the,
like,
and the girls are throwing their panties and bras on stage.
And Paul Stanley's like, oh, pussy's okay sometimes. It's like, what? What are you talking about, man? Like, he's crazy. But again, dude. Great band. I mean,
it is a great band, and it's interesting that in the mid-80s to mid-90s they did Unmask and played that way. But you know, knowing them, you go for part of that. I would feel like I'm getting ripped off if I just went to a Kiss show. Like, let's say you saw Kiss Unplugged on MTV a long time ago, or VH1, whatever that was, and they didn't have their songs. So I mean, I would like to hear an acoustic set from them. However, it wouldn't be the same show.
I can tell you right now, and it's, you wouldn't want to see that, because there is an unedited version on YouTube of Kiss trying to film for the MTV Unplugged thing, and they obviously hadn't rehearsed or, you know, worked on these songs, because for the, I think those segments were 40 minutes.
Yeah, that was an hour-long show.
They aired them in an hour, but they think they needed, you know, like 40 minutes of content.
And, right, right.
You know, it took them, I think, 3.5 or 4 hours to do it. And they've, you know, they're trying to play these songs, and they're just all over the place. They're bad. Like, they have to play the songs multiple times to get the right take. So I'll tell you right now, you don't want to hear Kiss Unplugged.
Okay.
Even the edited version of it, because that's not who they are. They're not.
No, they're not. They're
it'd be like giving Elton John a fucking keytar. Like, he doesn't do that. Like, Kiss doesn't play, you know, mainly ballad songs. Like, Beth is a great song, and they've got some fucking really, you know, banging, like, epic slow burner songs, like Going Blind. Like, that's a fucking great ballady type Kiss song.
Right.
But it maintains that heaviness that you get with them, because they're, you know, it's meat and potatoes, like rock and roll. Like, they're not doing flashy fucking guitar solos or like.
No, but it's like, it's so, like, most people know, like, you know, Rock All Night, Party Every Day.
Yeah, the hits, man. Love Gun, Detroit Rock City.
So what about one of my favorites, Kiss songs, is God Gave Rock and Roll to You, which they played in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
And that's actually not a Kiss song.
It's not a Kiss song?
That's a band called Argent.
Really? Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah, they, I think his name was Don Argent.
Okay.
He had a band called Argent, and they were, I think they might have also been from New York. But they wrote that song, and they performed it first. I can't remember what Kiss album that is on.
Okay, God Gave Rock and Roll to You is a 1973 song, which is when Kiss started, by a British band, Argent, and covered by both Petra and Kiss in 1997 and 1984. And then Kiss covered it in 1991 with modified lyrics.
Yeah, but yes, that's a different. Kiss did it earlier than that.
And they even included on their album Revenge in 92.
Yeah, that band Argent was badass. But yeah, Kiss, man, like.
But I like that song a lot. Kiss did a great cover version of it.
Well, that's another one of those. That's Kiss's like bread and butter, right?
It's like an anthem type of song.
It's a big kind of make you feel good, like Journey, right? Like it's major guitar chords. So there's not that like sad kind of like dissonant feeling that you get when you get it. It's big and heavy. You know, like AC/DC. It's all uplifting chords that like. Meant to make you
it makes
feel
me
good.
Feel like you're at a sports arena and this is the type of music.
Yeah, you want to fucking smoke a joint, drink a beer, and just like have
sing.
It. Yeah, like you don't have to fucking worry about your daily grind, right? Like your work stuff and all that, man. Kiss is just about it's having a good time, man. And I'm telling you, like, there's a few bands you could go see where it's probably the equivalent of like going to like a World Cup match. Going to like a Kiss concert, Grateful Dead, Iron Maiden, like where the fan base is just that's an experience in its own.
And part of the band is the fan base, like the Deadheads or even Phish now, but part of the fan base for Kiss, they all dress up like that. I mean, people go to Comic-Con like that.
Yeah, you'll see people that look more like, you know, the demon than Gene does up there. Like,
right.
I mean, it's crazy. And I've noticed the last couple of times that I've seen them, people, for the longest time, you know, I've seen Kiss probably six or seven times.
Right.
Maybe a little more than seven. But you used to only see people dressed up in, like, the Destroyer era, like, Kiss garb, right?
Yes.
You know, it's like the classic, you know, what you're used to seeing, and like the S&M type gear. And
S&M
leather,
with the
right?
silver dragon boots, and yeah.
For the longest time, you only saw fans dressed up like that, but the last probably two times I've gone, you see people dressed up like Lick It Up era
yes.
Kiss. Like, so they're like people, like, they're wearing like the teal spandex.
Yes.
And like, and kudos to those people, man, because I hope you didn't take the dart rail to get there, because you might not make it.
Yeah, you might not make it. You know, interestingly enough, Kiss has said who their influences are, and they said Alice Cooper and the New York Dolls.
Yeah. Well, I know they're huge. I mean, they're massive Beatles fans,
yes.
which everybody is. But there's a really good, you know, speaking of acoustic Kiss, there's a really good video of them probably in the late 80s, early 90s, of them warming up before a show, and they're playing acoustic guitars, and they do a medley of Beatles songs. And that's kind of when you get a new kind of appreciation for, like, Gene as a musician. Because Gene has got, like, one of probably the most underrated voices in, like, rock and roll.
Yeah.
Like, if Gene was in a different band, right? Like, if Gene could be the front man of another band and not be a dickhead, you know what I mean? Like, not be Gene Simmons, like,
yeah.
just sing. Dude, he would, incredible voice. And same with, like, Peter. Peter Criss has the best voice out of all of them. But he doesn't have that, like, stage presence. Granted, he's behind a drum kit. But when you see Gene in that makeup up there, it's like, that guy was meant to do that.
Yo, yeah.
Like,
no,
the way he moves, the way he stomps around, and he's, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen the shoes that they wear.
No, they're platform shoes.
They have stacked, like, platform heels that are, like,
yeah.
6 inches, man. And they're maneuvering around like they're fucking wearing goddamn New Balances.
Yeah.
You know? But
no, it's insane, but that's part of the act. That's part of them. That's part of who they are.
It's the circus, man.
So,
like, psycho circus.
So... Studio albums, Kiss has released 24 since their inception. The most recent one being 2012, Monster. But the most, I guess, people, Psycho Circus?
Yes.
1998 was like their big one, like their last big one that really everybody knew.
That was kind of like they should have stopped there.
No, I totally agree. But
well, actually, they should have stopped after Creatures of the Night.
That was 1982.
Right.
That was a long time ago.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They, from that point on, that is...
Because in Lick It Up... Well, in 1985, Asylum, that is when they kind of stopped wearing the masks and shit. And makeup.
Well, that's also when they stopped kind of ceasing to be Kiss.
Yeah, but then Carnival of Souls came out and they got back into it. So, I mean, it's going to be hard to find, like, you know, Kiss, Harder Than Hell, Destroyer, Love Gun... Those are great albums.
The sleeper on all of those albums, of all those early Kiss albums, from the first one up to Creatures of the Night,
mm-hmm.
the sleeper album in that bunch is Hotter Than Hell.
So Hotter Than Hell was their second studio album. And if you remember it, actually, I just finally got it on vinyl. And, you know, it's that great cover with all the Japanese or Chinese writing on it, and damn awesome.
I remember the first time I actually listened to that album, I was like, what's it? I thought it was an import, because it just looks, you know, it's like, what's this Japanese thing? And then you listen to it, and man, it's like, that's a punk rock album, man. Like, it's a very, not a lot of production on it. You know, sonically, you don't hear, it's not overproduced, but it's a fucking band that's like, they know what you can hear their confidence, like, in their sound, and
right.
the songs are just,
Yeah, there's Japanese manga influenced artwork. It is it's fantastic. And that was their second album ever. Do you think it ever got better than that?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely, as you know, Kiss becomes, you know, at that point after about the fifth album, then it's a big epic. Each album is kind of, you know, this transition from like the first song's always this kind of like cool beer swigging like rock and roll song. Then they kind of take it down just a step with like some kind of weird, usually like an Ace song, you know, like get Ace to do the swagger thing, make him sound relevant. But you know, after Ace left, that's not really Kiss, you know, like Ace is the sound of Kiss as far as the music goes. Because every other guitar player that they've had, they've tried to do something outside of the context in which Kiss works in. So Kiss, remember, like, could only work in that square box.
Right.
Right? So, and when the 80s happened, instead of maybe going, man, you know what? We're probably going to lose a lot of fans because this trend that's going on, we should just stick to with what we know how to do. Plow through these couple of years of, like, people making bad mistakes in music, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to keep up with, like, fucking Poison and, you know, stuff like that.
Which are fads, really.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, Poison, but people knew what they were getting into. Like, you didn't go to a Poison concert to see the great musicianship.
No.
You know, and you went for the spectacle of the people, like, cool. There's not going to be any strippers working tonight because they're all at the fucking Poison show. Who wouldn't want to go? Like, you mean you don't? They're going to get naked for free tonight.
Yeah.
Right? Like, fuck, play Unskinny Bop for 20 minutes, dude, and no girl in here will have their clothes on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they knew what they were getting into. But yeah, dude, Kiss just tried to. They tried to.
Well, they did it.
Well, they, yeah. They, and some people would argue that, you know, that 80s era Kiss is like the era.
But it's not, though.
It is an era, but to me, you know, it's just not the same without Ace, man, because the being a guitar player, and I think even just people that aren't even musically like inclined, maybe on an instrument to be able to play, you can even hear that. You listen to like Love Gun, right? And then you go listen to like Unmask or, you know, any of those albums from the 80s, or like Music from the Elder, right? Which is like maybe arguably the worst album of all time. Like, I mean, there's some bad albums, but this one, Music, look it up, type in Music for the Elder, and I guarantee you that album could be number one on
that. That is 1981, and it's a substantial departure from their previous output.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
Yeah, this, while they did the MTV Unplugged appearance, and this was like right around the same time. Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, anything you read about that.
Yeah, album, it's like everybody's giving it like
negative review.
2 stars out of 5. Well, that's lower.
You're probably incorrect. It's probably 2 out of 10 stars.
But yeah, people did not like this album.
It's seriously like listening like a group of guys that try to like create the music for like the Dungeons and Dragons board game. Right? And then you're like, wait a minute, this is Kiss? Like it's kind of a mind fuck to listen to. Like put on, like if you're ever curious to know what happened to Kiss, right? Put on like Rock and Roll Over, like which is a later era Kiss album, still in the 70s, but put on Rock and Roll Over and then put on Music from the Elder.
Yeah,
and you'll like want to rip your hair out, man.
Yeah,
because you'll seriously go, what happened to these guys? Like, it will make you upset.
Ugh. So yeah, there's that album.
What's your favorite Kiss album?
You know what? I love Love Gun. I don't know. I don't know why. I love that. I love that.
How many other bands put a gun in their record?
Yeah.
I mean,
damn cool.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing that I always thought was so neat with Kiss, when I've always been into like records, I always had them, but I always thought when you got a Kiss record and you pull the record out, and nine times out of ten, that merchandise sheet would fall out with it, right? With like the fucking, there was like 20 check boxes, right? You could get, they had a Kiss belt buckle and
the wallet.
Yeah, the wallet, like, you know, the jean, the plastic tongue. They became like a, they're a corporation. Like, they were like, we're going to fucking make some money out of this. And
which is great. And why, what's wrong with that?
It's all, making money in the music industry has always been difficult.
Merchant, yeah.
If you're not in charge of your own shit.
Right.
You know, and there's all kinds of behind the scenes stuff that goes, studios, engineers, producers. So there's a lot of stuff where, unless you're just already those things, there's people got to get paid. You know, like, you're not the only, four people in a band aren't the only people making that thing go.
Right.
Especially a machine like Kiss.
Right.
Lawyers, all kinds of shit. So, but they, again, man, they figured out real quick that here's a formula. We have this fucking genius aesthetic appeal that we can turn into fucking merchandise, right? Like, you couldn't go buy a Robert Plant mask.
No.
That would just be
Led
creepy.
Zeppelin didn't do that.
It would be creepy.
Yeah, it's, you know, Kiss.
And like, and again, like, you could buy a Led Zeppelin t-shirt, you know, and they had posters, but like,
they didn't have condoms or caskets like Kiss does.
They didn't have a, I mean, granted, Led Zeppelin, you know, kind of, I guess, has a logo, but when you see the Kiss, when you see the band logo of Kiss,
you know immediately.
You know, that's almost like, that's the Kiss font.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, everything about the name, the color, like, in the orange to the black.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're, it's just, it's got that fucking notoriety to it. Even if you don't know what it is, it just looks official.
Yeah.
Same with Ghost, man. Like, that's another band where, like, their
font is recognizable.
The half moon.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, God, that's how you do it. Like, if you're going to do the band,
it's memorable.
Thing, yeah, it's
So to wrap this first episode up, in 2016 or 17, there have been conflicting stories on whether Kiss will record another album or not. Gene Simmons has said yes in many interviews that he has songs already written and lined up for a new album. However, Stanley and Thayer dispute this and say that they don't vow to make one and that the band can move forward without new music. So do you think, last question, do you think that Kiss should or will make another album?
Kiss should make another album with Kiss.
The original, so, like, Stanley, yeah, Paul, so
in
Gene.
And the thing you just read,
yeah,
Tommy Thayer is Ace's, like, replacement.
Right.
So if Kiss is going to do another album, they have to do it, they should do it as Kiss, Peter Criss, Gene Simmons,
Paul Stanley,
Ace Frehley. And they should do it the exact same way they used to make a record. Gene shouldn't go, I already have all the songs written. Like, no way, man. It's already kind of the Gene show. You know what
right.
I mean? It's got to be a 25, 25, 25, 25. Those guys would make a great, they would make a great album. I know they would.
Do you think that is possible with Gene's ego?
I think it's total. I think the fact that Gene Simmons has rounded the corner on, like, marijuana.
Yeah. Gene is known for not alcohol, no alcohol, no drugs,
any,
per se.
Yeah. Any sort of thing. And that, you know, I don't really fault him for that, because I've seen, you know, alcohol and fucking drugs will rock you, you know, if you're like,
right.
You're not prepared to kind of know when's enough, and, you know, it'll grab a hold of you. But, you know, that's not a bad stance to have. I would never say that, oh, fuck Gene Simmons, he's anti-alcohol and drugs.
No, that's great. I mean, he's, look at him, he's a
strong-minded individual.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, yeah, he's been anti that, and, you know, he's invested money, millions of dollars recently, into, like, some startup pharma or THC, you know,
because
pharmaceutical
it helps.
Thing or something.
It helps.
Yeah, he even said in an interview, he's like, you know, I've just been misinformed. So I don't think Gene probably 10 years and back would have been capable of doing it. But if they do an album without Ace and Peter and call it Kiss.
And it's not Kiss.
Oh, man. I bet they would probably have a fan base departure, I would think. Because especially at this point, like, with so many great, like, artists dying, You know, right. Like people like Prince and like Tom Petty and Bowie, like people that you kind of always thought that were like, no, no matter how bad it is, those people will be around.
Yeah.
But then when you realize, oh shit, like we all got an expiration date, you know, not comparing Kiss to those people, but at some point I would think most people just grow out of like being a dick. Like it's easier just to, hey, you know what? We've disagreed on a lot of shit, but let's do an album together.
Let's get the band back together again.
Have fun. Yeah, you're going to make mistakes playing live because you're fucking old and you can't remember the stuff and you got to look at the monitor and the bass is heavy and you got all this stuff on. But like, you get out there and do it.
But you don't have to do a 200-city tour. You could technically do 12
over
6 months or 3 months and still be great.
That's kind of the double-edged sword, though, with a band like that, because you almost have to have them play in a... You wouldn't want to see them in, like, you know, here at, like, Cowboys Stadium, right? Like, out in Arlington?
No, it would be at... I don't think they'd do 100,000 people. They would do 15,000 people at American Airlines even at...
AAC would be... American Airlines would be perfect.
But it would be also great at Starplex.
Yeah, well, yeah, that would be good as well. But it'd be cool, you know, you want to see them inside.
Like, yeah.
There's just something about the enclosure of a huge built structure like that with kind of that, like, medieval-type looking shit going on.
Yeah.
Like, fucking medieval times, right? Like, there's, like, jousters and stuff. Like, it makes more sense for it to be inside because it makes it that much weirder.
Right.
You know, if, like, they were doing it in, like, fucking an amphitheater, you know, or an outdoor, like, coliseum, it kind of loses that, like, you want it to be dark, you know, like, you want it as dark as possible.
Yeah.
Because the fucking light shows are going to annihilate you, dude. And there's explosions every 15 seconds at a Kiss concert.
Yeah. So,
like, go on acid and you'll forget about it.
I hope that they put out another album.
As Kiss or?
As Kiss. I don't want just two of them. I want the whole band. They need to go back to their roots, man.
Well, they need to go back to their, like, fan base. Like, they need to, like, remember, like, people didn't like Kiss because of the egos. That they checked their egos by wearing that makeup.
Right.
But then the egos started to come out. Like, it would have been killer if, like, they never did interviews. Like, if they somehow could have never done interviews.
It would be so mysterious and so much more.
Like, if they didn't have to unmask, right?
Right.
They could have always just been the characters.
Right.
I think a lot of the stuff that happened and made me not really be a fan of a certain era of them.
Yeah.
They would have bypassed because they would have stayed, like, in that state of mind. You know what I mean?
Right.
They wouldn't have been like, well, fuck, we got all this fucking money now. We want people to know who we are. Like, who doesn't want to have $50 million and, like, be unknown? You would want to kind of be known.
I wouldn't.
I mean, most people.
Yeah.
Like, if I had $50 million, dude, they'd be like, where the fuck did Jake go? you would know where to find me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's like, he's probably in Perth somewhere. Like, you know, and he may or may not have pants on.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be like, there goes that... People would think I was a ghost, like, wandering up and down the beach at night because I'd be so white and, like, pasty. But I'd just be out there, you know, waiting for the nukes to go off, like, for that huge wave to come in. Probably just, like, tripping my balls off, you know, like, just forgetting about all of it. It would be incredible.
Yeah.
I'd build a little hut on the shore there.
It'd be nice.
Have a couple of dogs.
I like it.
It would be incredible. Maybe a koala bear.
There you go.
Or a koala. Is it koala bear?
I think it's koala bear.
Who knows? Those things will maul your face off.
On that note, that is our first episode of the tentatively titled Unbalanced Note podcast on the Multimedia Men Network, on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Hopefully soon to be on Spotify. I'm Brian Kluger, and my co-host is Jacob Douglas. Jacob, where can you tell all of our amazing listeners and fans to find you? Can they find you physically? Can they find you online?
I would prefer no one find me, but if you need me, I won't be there.
So there is the man, the myth, the legend, Jacob Douglas. He will be joining this podcast every week for more one-hit wonders and how did these bands become famous and why and where and how and who.
We didn't talk about any of that.
Well, in a way, indirectly. But thank you for listening. We love you. We'll talk to you soon.